Romans chapter 3, verse 21. There's a, in the book of Romans, the first several chapters of Romans establishes most of what God wants us to know about righteousness, His righteousness, how we obtain righteousness, a lot of things that God says about righteousness. Now, if there's one thing that a person wants to know is, am I right in the eyes of God? Amen. Am I right? Have I been made righteous? Yep. There are people that will go through the world, and somebody had mentioned it the other day about somebody saying some good deed they done, they hoped that maybe it scored them a few points up in heaven. And we don't get to heaven by points. We get there by the righteousness of Christ. Amen. That God imputes from Him to us. Amen. And so I want us to see righteousness imputed tonight. We're going to look at how God illustrates His righteousness, and then we're going to look at the benefits of God's righteousness, and then we're going to look at how that His righteousness is applied to man, applied to us. To whom? It's not just that everybody, you know, the whole world, Christ died for the whole world, but the whole world ain't been made righteous.
Right.
Being made righteous, one must repent and believe.
Amen.
One must come to Christ and receive the grace of God upon their life. Let's just read this from 21 down to 31. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Amen.
Is he the God of the Jews only?
No.
Is he not also the of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So I want us to look at his righteousness imparted tonight. I try to look at all of it. I don't know that we'll get through all of it, but we read right here a great description. You could see it in every verse of what his righteousness is. The Apostle Paul is taking his time to let the Jews and the Romans know. Yeah, and we read that the last. You know, he's not just the God of the Jews. He's the God of the Gentile too. He's the God of every man, because all men have sinned.
Amen.
All men need a Savior.
Right.
And he's the one God of every man.
Amen.
And if man is going to find righteousness, it's not that the Jews have secured a way to find theirs, and now we must try to secure a way to find ours. That's the way a lot of them were looking at it. You know, they needed to find a Gentile God somewhere that they could trust to get them to heaven. But Paul is very adamant that God is the God of the whole world.
Amen.
The one God and creator of all men. And he is revealing to us the picture of God's righteousness, what it is. Verse 21, he said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." You see, the righteousness of God, according to that statement, doesn't come by the law. It's witnessed by the law. It's witnessed by the prophets. But it doesn't, it's with the righteousness of God without the law, he said, is witnessed by the law and the prophets. They are witness to God's righteousness. The law points us to Christ.
Amen.
And the prophets point us to Christ. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. There it is. The righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ. That's where you and I will find righteousness.
Amen.
That's where righteousness lies.
Amen.
That's where righteousness exists. That's the only place to find righteousness.
Amen.
Is of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Of his sacrifice, of his person. Amen. Unto all. That means everybody. This righteousness is for everybody. He didn't just die for his own. He came to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Look what he said. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. There it is. Them that believe. Them that put their faith in Christ to be our righteousness. You have to, what you're doing is you're trusting Christ. You're trusting his life, his death, his sacrifice, his blood, his resurrection, everything that he is and has done for us. You're trusting that and that alone. Nothing else. It is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. For there is no difference. If a Gentile believes, he's got it secured as much as if a Jew believed. He
Doesn't have to add anything extra. If it's good enough for one, it's good enough for all. We don't owe anything extra. Amen? Sometimes I think we owe something extra. Like, you know, we offend the grace of God when we think or feel there's something that I must do right to help make me right. No, Christ did that. Christ did everything there was to be done to make me and you right. He makes us right in the eyes of God. We have a right relationship with God the Father now. Since the fall, Christ was the only one that could secure that. And so he lets us know that. I know I'm not going to get through all this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. If somebody ever tells you they had not sinned, they are a liar. All have sinned. The Bible is right. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In our best state, we come short of God's glory. Only under the righteousness of Christ, listen to me, do we not come short of God's glory. You need to get a hold of that, and I even need to get a hold of that. I said, only in Christ do we not come short. Amen. Why do you think we are able to come boldly to the throne of grace? That we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need, because His righteousness is imputed to us. We are right in the eyes of God, being justified freely by His grace. Freely. We are justified freely. We have been made right freely. Nothing that you and I have done. Nothing that we have paid. Are you listening? We're justified freely by His grace. This is where grace steps in. The grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to us. Amen. What did that grace say? That we could be justified and right in Christ before God Almighty. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is, that He has redeemed us from our fallen state to a right state. From a coming short state to a made right state. Amen? And he said, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. He's talking about Christ. God has set Him forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood. See, now it's going a little deeper. It's not just in, like one preacher said, His death. It's in His blood. It's not just in His person. It's in His blood. What He did, listen, the very person, and I say this reverently, the person of Christ, God didn't choose to let Him redeem us from heaven just on who He is, not doing anything, and could have. Christ was good enough, sinless enough, holy enough, If that were the path, if that were the way, that wasn't the way. God required blood. He required blood. Christ had to come and be a sacrifice. Had to give himself. Had to become man. To die for man. Amen? Likened unto us. Made lower than the angels. The virgin birth. Into this world of sin and hate. And lived a sinless life. Gave his life. Died. Gave his body. And he gave his blood. He gave his blood. It was the blood that he would take and sprinkle on God's mercy seat and redeem you and I. Pay. He paid with his very blood for our sins. And so he says, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That was the plan. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. God said, this is what has been done, and this is what it's done for. This blood that my son has presented to me is for the sins of mankind. Sins of mankind for all iniquity. Through the forbearance of God. To declare us, see, he's describing to us the righteousness imputed. We didn't just open a bunch of, you know, a box of Cracker Jacks and popped out the gift and there it was. There was a process that happened to make me and you righteous. There was a lot that took place to make us righteous. And we're reading that. He's explaining that. See, the Jews, they had a pride problem. We've got Abraham to our father. We're good because of Abraham. We're good because we've got the oracles. No, there was a process. There was a process. And Paul was revealing to them what the process of righteousness, true righteousness before God was. For all men. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's how God can justify you and I. That God, and God's the only one that can say, sin debt's paid. God was the one offended. Man was the offender. He sinned against his Father in heaven. He sinned against God. And so God, being the one offended, God's the only one that can say, satisfied. I am satisfied. He is the justifier of him which believeth in him. Then he says, where is boasting then? See, that's what I was just talking about. The Jews always had something that they thought they could boast in. It is excluded. Man has nothing to boast in. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Faith, not just faith as a plant. I've got faith, so I'm justified. No, it's faith in the process. Faith in the man. Faith in his blood. faith in everything that the Apostle Paul just gave us here to examine. So it's faith in Christ. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Why? Because those deeds of the laws, or whether you don't have the law, matters not in justification. Because Christ paid the debt. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we established the law. So you see how he describes it here. Now let's look at the illustration of Abraham's faith. His faith apart from works. Because Abraham, being the father of the faith, okay, he is the father of the faith, the father of the Jews, the father of the Hebrews. There were no Jews until Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. And circumcision was given. And Abraham was the first to circumcise himself and his house. All his house. They became the first Jews and Hebrews that they were going to walk by faith following God, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. They had a promise from God. And God said, circumcise their males. You're going to be different from everybody else. So he had to do what God asked him to do. This was before the law. This was before Moses. That's why they call him the father of the faith. Abraham's the first. So let's look at the illustration of how his faith was apart from works. In chapter 4, verse 1, he said, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, because he did some things in the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. He could glorify in that circumcision. He could say, we are better than everybody because we're circumcised. We're better before God than you are because we're circumcised. We are better before God in heaven than you are because we are walking by faith and listening to him, finding a city. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Before Abraham ever was circumcised, before he ever made one footstep, he believed God. And the Bible said it, his belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. His faith in God, not his steps going to Canaan, not his act of circumcision and obedience unto the Lord for his house, but his believing God's promise. That was what was counted unto him for righteousness. It was counted apart from circumcision. Look what he said in verse number 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's faith apart from works. That's righteousness. He even gave that illustration that even David described that blessedness. That a man is justified without work. He's made righteous without works. So it's without works. It's apart from the circumcision. Verse 9 through 12. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then is it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Before he ever committed that act that God asked him to do, his faith was reckoned to him for righteousness. Apart from the works of the law. Look at verse 13 through 15. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Because the law hadn't come. His justification, his righteousness didn't come by the law. It came by faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It is of faith that it might be by grace. I'm going to tell you something. The Old Testament saints were justified by grace just like we're justified by grace. They may not have realized the extent of it, but they were. And Paul just proved it that they were. You see, God's grace was in action. They were being made righteous and being made justified by faith before the cross. Now you and I are made justified by grace through faith after the cross. Righteousness has been imputed to us. You have been made right before God. When the next time the devil jumps on your shoulders about how sorry you are and how much you fail and how much you sin, you remind him you've been made right in the eyes of God. Remind yourself. Amen. Remind yourself that you're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. You're made right. You're justified. And it's not by the works of the law. It's not by your deeds. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Walk in that light. Walk in that light. Confess it. His justification was apart from circumcision, apart from works, apart from the law. It was in God and God alone. Verse 16 through 25. You can read all of that. The Bible said in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. It was in God. Abraham believed God. He was trusting God. That's how God wants you and I to look up. Amen. Trust him in our walk. Trust his word that he has justified us, that we are made right in his sight. Your heavenly Father looks down. Look, and when he looks down, he's not disappointed. He sees us in Christ. Amen. I'm talking about our position tonight. God sees you as right as he sees his son. That's a big one to swallow right there. Abraham, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. Bless the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, Paul shows us the benefits of his righteousness. I mean, it already sounds like I've been talking about benefits. No, I've just been talking about where it is and where it ain't. Chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, let's see some of the benefits of that righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's a benefit. We have peace with God. Never had that before. Not my whole life did I ever have that. But now, because we're made righteous, we're made right, we're justified, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Look at all these things that are given to us. Even through the process of the Christian life that we walk, we are given so many things. I never had patience given to me in tribulation. I never had hope given to me in trouble. Did you? Never. Trouble came. I was in trouble. Amen. I was in trouble. But now, amen. And we've got experience, and experience tells me we've got hope. Hope in God. And hope maketh not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed. Amen? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. There's a benefit. And the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We've got the Holy Ghost inside of us. Ever since we became justified, now we've got the Holy Ghost living in us. A benefit of being made right. I never had the Holy Ghost in me when I wasn't right, when I was lost. I was dead. You was dead. But now we have the Spirit of Christ living in us. walking in us and talking to us. Oh my, what a comforter. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. It's my life verse. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. That's where I lived before and you lived before. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from wrath. What wrath? All wrath. The wrath of the tribulation. Amen. The wrath of hell. Eternal judgment and punishment. Wrath. If it's wrath, we're saved from it. Amen. God didn't save us to leave us in wrath. We're saved. For if when we were enemies, and we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We are saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God. You can joy in God right now. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We became justified. We are assured the atonement is sealed. Amen. Look at that great gift. All the great gifts given. The benefits of righteousness. I don't have time for the last one. If you want to look at it, chapter 5, verse 12 through 21, that sums up the chapter. It talks about how righteousness was applied to man, how applicable it was. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. He tells the story, how that it's applied to you and I. It's amazing how this Bible is written. To remind me and you where our righteousness comes from, how we stand in it, how we are blessed because of it. Oh my. And now it's imputed to us. That means it is given to you freely by God's grace when you believed. Faith in His blood.